Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm Mark Levonger. In this hour, westerns, later on, Tales of the Texas Rangers from 1951, but right now it's Gunsmoke, with the story Chester's Dilemma, from January 31st, 1960, on CBS.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Try not to be hard on Chester, huh?
I'm not going to be hard on him, Kitty, but if a man isn't doing his job,
Matt's right, Kitty. By the other day, I was riding through Cottonwood Grove, and there was Chester, big as life, lying under a tree with a straw stuck in his mouth.
What day was that, Doc?
What day was that? Let me see. I was on my way to Reb Morgan's place. To that youngest kid of Reb's got himself wrapped up in a roll of barbed wire.
I thought
I would never get him out.
What day, Doc?
Oh, what day? Let me think. Thursday. It was Thursday.
Yeah, that's the day he was supposed to clean the rifles, get a new stirrup leather for my saddle, and do a half a dozen other things he hasn't been doing for the last 10 days.
Well, what did he say, Doc?
Well, he didn't even see me. He just lay there staring up at the sky.
Matt, I think I know what it is.
What?
Chester's got spring fever.
Spring fever.
She might be right, Matt. We sure been having the weather for it.
Yeah, I've got a touch of it myself.
Well, Chester's going to have to straighten out. This has been going on for weeks. I'll see you two later, huh?
Now, you be easy on him, Matt.
All right, Kitty. Well, Chester, I'm surprised to see you here. I thought you'd be lying out under a tree somewhere about now.
Under a tree?
Uh-huh.
What? No, sir. I've been waiting around for you, Mr. Dillon.
Oh? Well, good, because I want to talk to you.
Mr. Dillon, did you ever sit and watch a beaver build a dam?
Did I ever what?
Watch a beaver build a dam.
Chester, this is exactly what I want to talk to you about. There's a lot of work to be done around here, and you're not getting it done.
Yes, sir, I know, but I was just starting to explain about that.
You were?
Yes, sir. See, for most of the year, a stream runs in one direction, don't it? And along comes the beaver, and he builds his dam, and the water kindly starts to go in the other direction. At least for a while it does.
What's this got to do with your not doing your work, Chester?
Well, that's the way my blood is. Every year, about this time, my blood kindly dams up and starts to go the other way, and I feel different.
Chester, come here.
Hmm?
Now, sit down. Go on. All right. Out with it.
Mr. Dillon, there's a lady at the Dodge house waiting to see me.
Well, what's so terrible about that?
Well, nothing, I guess. Except she come here from St. Louis... expecting me to marry her.
Say what? Chester, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been writing letters to some ladies out of town.
What ladies?
Lonesome ladies, Mr. Dillon. See, I run across a bunch of St. Louis newspapers, and there was all these ads, and Well, me feeling like I do and all, I just kindly wrote to several of them.
And you've never even seen this woman then, huh?
No, sir, I ain't.
Well, what did you say in the letters?
Well, I just told her about myself.
The truth?
Well, here and there, I might have stretched things in mind.
Well, what you're trying to tell me, Chester, is that you wrote a bunch of lies, and now one of these women is here to call your hand. Is that it?
Would you go talk to her, Mr. Dunn, please?
You mean you want me to get you out of it?
Yes, sir.
Well, Chester, I... All right, what's her name?
Mrs. Corinne Gatesley.
Mrs.?
She's a widow lady.
Oh, fine. You want me to tell her that you've left town? We don't know where you are, something like that, is that it?
Well, no, sir. Not exactly.
Then what?
Well, if you don't mind too awful much, Mr. Dillon, would you tell her you're Chester Proudfoot?
That I?
Well, see, then you could go on about how you ain't going to marry her and all that.
Wait a minute, Chester.
But, Mr. Dillon, I sent her your picture.
What?
It was an awful good likeness. Remember that one of you standing in Mr. Titus's studio holding that bowler hat in your hand? Well, where are you going, Mr. Dillon?
Chester, I'm going to tell her the truth right now, and you see that you're here when I get back.
Yes, sir. Oh, dear, I wish I hadn't never learned to write.
Mrs. Gatesley?
Yes? Who's there? Chester, is that you?
It's Matt Dillon.
Yeah, what are you... Oh, Chester, darling, you tried to fool Corinne, didn't you? You're a naughty boy.
Mrs. Gatesley, ma'am, I came
now,
here to...
Chester, you needn't call me that. Just call me Corinne.
Well, no, look, ma'am, there's been a little mix-up. Mr. Proudfoot is... been kind of playing a game with you.
Game? I don't understand.
Well, I'm Matt Dillon, and Chester Proudfoot, well, he's another man. He sent you my picture by mistake.
Dillon? Seems I've heard that name before.
Well, yeah, you have, ma'am. I'm the marshal here in Dodge.
The marshal? That's very interesting, Marshal. The way things have worked out, I may have need of you. Marshal Dillon, I want to show you something. These letters. You see, these were written by this Proudfoot person. Would you please read a few passages?
Well, Yes, I see.
What would you conclude from that, Marshal?
Well, he's expecting some money to come his way soon.
What else?
And, he's not above marrying the right woman?
Marshal, would you please tell Mr. Proudfoot that I'm waiting for him to call on me?
Yes, ma'am. I'll tell him.
Good day, Marshal.
Good day, Ms. Gaisley.
Well... It serves him right. And anyway, Chester should get married.
Well, that may be, Doc, but I don't think this is the woman for him.
Well, why not, Matt?
Well, for one thing, she's sure nothing to look at. She's taller than Chester, and she weighs as much as I do.
Oh, is it? Well, oh, Matt, this is wonderful. I can hardly wait for the wedding.
Well, don't count on it, Doc.
Well, where is Chester, Matt?
He's hiding out down at the office.
Yeah, well, let's get him up here, huh? And drink a toast to this, just in case.
Oh, Doc, stop.
Now, Kitty, I've known Chester a long time, and I want him to know how happy I am for him.
Doc, you're just making fun of him.
No, I'm not. I may even deliver their first child free.
Oh. Matt, what are you going to do about this?
Well, I'll let Chester worry for a few days just to teach him a lesson, and then I'll try to get her to leave town.
Well, how does he explain all this?
You'll never believe me, Kitty. But the trouble is, he told her he had money coming in.
I've known a few women like that.
You know, Matt, there is such a thing as breach of promise.
Yeah, if he only hadn't mentioned the money.
Matt, wait a minute.
What?
This woman, you say she's big. Does she have red hair?
Yeah, I think she does.
She say where she was from?
Well, Chester said she's from St. Louis. Why?
Well, there's a woman I saw a few times in St. Louis, worked in a saloon. Then a year or so later, the sheriff was looking for her.
Yeah?
They found the bodies of several men she had married. They'd all been shot and robbed.
Well, did they ever find her?
Yeah. But they couldn't prove anything on her and had to let her go. Her name then was Bertha Hoskovitz.
Would she know you?
No. I'd sure remember her.
Good. Now, she's staying at the Dodge House. You see if you can get a look at her.
Oh, sure. You going to take her in, Matt?
There's no way I can yet. But I'll wire St. Louis and see what they say about her. And in the meantime, there's one thing pretty sure.
What?
If she is Bertha Hoskovitz, she's planning Chester for her next victim.
Fine doggone thing. If he don't want me to read him, he just don't need to send me after him. But to let on to Mr. Hightower that I read his telegraph, well... It come in all right, Mr. Dillon. Here. And it ain't been opened.
Oh, thanks, Chester.
I'm sitting way over here, Mr. Dillon, where I can't read it.
Yeah, just like Kitty said.
No need to fear on me reading your telegraphs anymore, Mr. Dillon. Mr. Hightower made that real plain.
Oh, Chester, will you quit your grumbling? When there's something I want you to know, I'll tell you.
You probably think I mind some, Mr. Dillon, but I don't. It don't bother me at all. Not one bit.
I know.
Where are you going now, Mr. Dillon? Or ain't I supposed to know about that, neither?
Have you seen your lady friend yet?
No, and I don't intend to. I hope she's on the first train out of here today.
You know, you're going to find her a lot harder to get rid of than you think, Chester. I'll see you later. Mr. Bodkin?
Oh, well, good morning, Marshal. What brings you into the bank so early?
Look, Mr. Bodkin, there's something I'd like to ask you to do for me.
Anything you say, Marshal.
Well, this is going to involve the use of some of your money.
Now, Marshal, that doesn't really belong to me. You know?
I know that, Mr. Bodkin.
Well, just how much money, Marshal Dillon?
$5,000.
$5,000? Well, Marshal Dillon, people leave their money here on trust, and it's up to me
to... Mr. Bodkin, let's go into your office, and I'll tell you what this is all about, huh?
Oh, all right, but $5,000 is a lot of money, Marshal.
I know that, Mr. Bodkin.
Matt!
What?
Oh, Matt!
Oh, yeah, Doc.
Matt, I've been looking all over for you. Kitty and I saw that Hoskovitz woman going into your office a few minutes ago.
Oh?
Yeah, you better keep her away from Chester. She's liable to convince him he has to marry her.
Well, that's what I want her to do. Yeah. I want Chester to think that he really does have to marry this woman. Look, Doc, I tell you what. Huh? You go find Kitty and tell her about this and see that she helps out, huh?
Oh, but Chester might get killed.
Well, I'll see that he doesn't. Now, you go tell Kitty and then both of you come right back to the office as soon as you can.
Chester Proudfoot, you come out of that cell.
No, ma'am, I ain't. But now, you stop that. Miss Gacy, ma'am, you...
Chester.
Oh, good morning, Marshal Dillon. I've come to get my loved one.
Chester, What are you doing in that cell?
Well, after what I done, Mr. Dillon, I figured I ought to be locked up.
Where are the keys?
I got them right here in my pocket.
Hand them over.
Yes, sir. Here you are. Look, I would like to get married to you, ma'am, but you see how things are. There ain't nothing I can do about... I just can't... possibly... Mr. Dillon?
Would you like to come out now, Chester?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you, Marshal.
It's all right. Let's go on out to the front office, huh?
Ah, there he is, Kitty. The happy bridegroom.
Hello, Chester. Is this the big day?
Well, no.
Say, don't I know you, dearie?
Oh, not that I know of.
Oh, I guess not. Oh, look at this poor boy. He's scared to death. Chester, darling, see how your little Corinne's trembling all over?
Oh, my God. Oh, just look at that. Mr. Dillon, do I have to go through with this? I never really meant nothing by writing all them letters. I was just having a little fun.
Chester, you can't toy with a woman's heart that way.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Chester.
I am, Miss Kitty. Honest, I am. Miss Gaisley, ma'am.
Yes, love.
You don't want me now, do you? I don't look like much. I ain't had hardly no schooling at all. All I know is helping Mr. Dillon, and that's all I really want to do. Every year at this time, I get these crazy ideas about women and maybe having a home of my own. And
spending your money on someone you love.
Money. Say, that's... Oh, I told you an awful lie about that. Why, I ain't got no money at all. That was all part of the... Well, that was just talk, like the rest of it.
What are you saying? No money.
No, ma'am, no money.
Oh, Matt, is Chester in here?
Yeah, he's here, Mr. Bodkin.
Oh, there you are, Chester. Well, my boy, have I got good news for you.
Hello, Mr. Bodkin. I sure could use some good news.
Well, then look in this bag. There's $5,000 in it, and it's all yours.
Now, don't fool with me, Mr. Bodkin. I got enough dollars to
it. I am not fooling. It's yours.
$5,000, Chester's?
Yes, ma'am. He inherited it.
No, I didn't. No, I did not.
Oh, yes,
no,
you did.
No.
From an old man down in Texas.
Who? What old man?
Grandpa Drum. Remember him?
Grandpa Drum. Now, why did he have to go and do that?
Well, isn't that wonderful, Chester? Now you can get married just the way you always wanted to.
Mr. Dillon, I don't want to leave here. Making coffee for you, holding your horse, and I'll get that saddle fixed right away, I promise.
Chester, you don't have any choice. You've asked for this woman's hand.
He sure has.
No.
Chester, dear, do you want me to read these letters out loud?
No. I'll marry you.
Now you're talking, Chester.
Well, let's all go over to my place and we'll celebrate.
That's a good idea, Kitty.
And Chester, it's on me. Every last drink.
Thank you, Miss Kitty. You always was nice to me. Oh, there you are, Matt.
Yeah, here I am.
Well, I wonder... Well, what are you so grumpy about?
Oh, I feel kind of bad about what I'm doing to Chester.
Well, then why don't you call it off?
I can't do that, Doc. I was hoping I was wrong, but... Here, look at this.
Huh? What do you mean? What is it? Another telegram?
Yeah, this time from Wichita.
From Wichita? Let me read this. The woman you describe is Marion Bertha. She is responsible for two disappearances in this area. Found both bodies, but can prove nothing. Suspect she works with male accomplice. Signed, Sheffield. Male accomplice? Oh, man. You're going to get Chester killed.
I hope not, Doc.
Well, she's got tickets for both of them on this afternoon stage to London.
I know.
And says she won't be married anywhere else.
She wants to get Chester and his money away from Dodge, Doc.
Well, then... What are you doing about it?
I'm going to give her enough rope to hang herself.
Well, I just hope Chester doesn't get caught in the same noose.
Good
goodbye, Chester. Hurry back to Dodge.
Goodbye, Miss Kitty. Somehow this just don't seem real.
It's real enough, Chester. Just take a look at that lovely creature next to you. Hello, my dear.
Goodbye, Doc.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Kitty.
Bye.
Thank you for the party.
Ain't nobody seen Mr. Dillon?
No, I haven't. Where is Matt, Doc?
Well, I don't know, but he better have... Well, here he comes.
Oh, and just look at him.
Yes, he is. He's wearing a tie, Kitty. And his Sunday suit.
Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon, did you come to just insist that I get off this stagecoach?
No, Chester, I'm going to ride to Larned. You didn't think I'd miss that wedding of yours, did you?
Oh, I guess not.
All right, Jack, let's get this stage going. It's 2 o'clock.
All right, Marshal. Everybody out of the way.
Well, I hope everything works out all right, Doc.
Oh, so do I, Kitty. So do I.
Marshal Dillon, I don't understand why you're coming along.
Chester and I have been friends for a long time, Miss Cayley. It's the least I could do.
Friends? I thought we was friends, Mr. Dillon, till I seen you all dressed up for my wedding.
Poor darling. Chester, dear, you'll be happy. After all, love conquers all.
Love. I never knew a man could get into such a mess. Mr. Dillon, I was just funning. There's at least 4 or 5 other ladies that I wrote to.
But I've got you.
Yes, ma'am, I reckon you have.
All right. Stop them horses, mister.
Hey, what's this all about?
Grab Bertha, Chester, and keep her quiet.
What? Here. What is this, a holdup, Mr. Dillon?
Just keep yourself and the woman out of it, Chester.
Yes, sir.
All right, driver, jump down.
I said keep her quiet. Bertha, it's good. Throw up your hand.
Fred, it's the marshal. My husband. You shot my husband.
Why, did you bring the marshal?
Who's he, Mr. Dillon? She called him her husband, and she was fixing to marry me.
No, she wasn't, Chester. She was going to have him kill you.
She was? Then you wasn't letting her take me off to get married at all. You was only trying to capture her.
Yeah, I had to have both of them, Chester. He's a killer. She may be, too.
Well, why didn't you tell me, Mr. Dillon? I could have helped.
You did, Chester. You helped a lot.
I did? I did? Well, say now. I reckon I did at that, Mr. Dillon.
Gunsmoke. Produced and directed in Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Tom Hanley, with editorial supervision by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Joseph Kearns, and Vic Perrin. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents another story on Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 31st of January, 1960, on CBS. You're listening to an hour of Westerns. On Tuned to Yesterday, I'm Mark LeValnier. Now, we just heard the character Chester Proudfoot, portrayed by actor Parley Bear in Gunsmoke, and he appears again in this episode of Tales of the Texas Rangers as a sheriff and more confident character alongside Jace Pearson, portrayed by film star Joel McRae. This episode called Square Dance, from May 20th, 1951, on NBC.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers.
Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. From the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record.
Case for tonight, Square Dance.
It is 9:50 p.m. Saturday night, October 14th, 1949. There is a square dance in progress at the Fun Spot, a barn-like dance hall on the outskirts of Bankerville in West Texas. Mrs. Mort Rogers, a rancher's wife, is seated in a corner, waiting for her husband to return with some soda pop. She looks up as a stranger approaches.
Well, looks like I found me a pretty little wallflower. How come you ain't dancing, man?
Reckon I'm a little out of breath from the last one. My husband went to fetch me some soda pop.
Good. While he's fetching it, you and me can dance. Not a couple needing that square over there. Come on.
No, thank you, but I'd rather wait for him.
Oh, you're just going to waste sitting there. Come on.
Oh, please, I'd rather not.
No, I ain't the kind of a man who takes no for an answer, especially from a pretty gal.
I told you I don't want to dance with you. It's on my arm, please.
Come on. Hey,
what's going on here? What's the matter, Harry?
Oh, Ma, I was waiting for you.
And I just happened by and asked her for a dance, that's all. And left finger marks all over her arm. Looks like your ass pretty rough. Ain't no harm done. You gonna get hard about it? Take these pop bottles, Harry.
I'm not done.
I said take them. Now, you want to repeat that question? Place is probably full of friends of yours. I don't know anybody around here. I just happen in.
Why don't you just happen out before you get in trouble? Go ahead, beat it.
All right. Maybe I'll meet you alone sometime.
Anytime you want to try.
No, please. Let him go. I'm all right.
Well, there seems to be somebody like that wandering in where people haven't fun.
Forget about him. He went out. Drink your pop.
Look at you, honey. You're shaking.
Not from here. It's a little chilly in here now, that's all.
Where's that little jacket you brought?
I left it out in the car.
I'll go fetch it for you.
Ain't that cold, Mort?
Oh, no. Just turning blue or something.
All right. Would you mind getting it for me?
Oh, I said I would, didn't I? Any more strangers ask you to dance, hit them with that pop bottle.
I'll be all right. Jacket's in the back seat.
All right, I'll find it.
Look who's here.
Well, it's you, huh? What you doing hanging around these cars? Thought I told you to get lost.
Better watch your tongue. You ain't surrounded by friends now. I figured you'd follow me out.
I didn't follow you out. I come out to get my wife's jacket. And as for friends, mister, I don't need any to handle the likes of you. Now, why don't you get while the getting's good?
Too bad your wife didn't come out to get her own jacket. Yeah, she's kind of cute.
Shut up. Right
yeah,
now.
If I would have asked her to dance if she hadn't given me the eye.
Why, you... come on, get up. Get up and fight. Or get up and run.
I'll fight. Or we'll fight my way with this kid.
I might have known someone like you would carry a knife.
You're going to know it. Good. Just once more for good measure. Guess your wife ain't going to be so particular who she dances with from now on.
When Mort Rogers failed to return to the dance, his wife came out to look for him. Her screams as she found the body brought dancers streaming from the hall. Somebody summoned the sheriff, and he in turn called for the help of a Texas Ranger. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned. He arrived at the parking lot outside the fun spot shortly after midnight.
Howdy, Sheriff.
Well, howdy, Jace. I'm glad you were close by. Here's the body.
Radio was buzzing with calls as I drove in. KTXA's ordering roadblocks set up on every highway near here for 100 miles.
Yeah, I know. I phoned in a description of a stranger who was at the dance tonight.
Yeah, I heard it. Let's hope they can pick him up.
Well, they'd have got him sure if I'd had the description earlier, but it took almost an hour to get Ms. Rogers so she could talk.
Is she the dead man's wife?
Yeah.
Saw the whole thing then, huh?
No. No, she was inside when it happened. Come out and found the body.
Well, then why the pickup for the stranger in particular? Rogers have trouble with him?
Just words. Nothing anybody saw. Tried to force Ms. Rogers to dance with him, the way she tells it. Rogers come along, saw what was going on, and ordered the fella out. Whole thing happened less than 2 hours ago.
Well, killer can't be too far away, then.
Yeah, far enough.
Yeah, but if the roadblocks don't pick him up, we'll know he's either living or hiding within a 2-hour ride from here.
Could be 100 yards away or 100 miles away. Even then, he might not be the one. Over 60 couple at the dance tonight. Any one of them could have stepped outside. I haven't let a car pull out since I got here.
Good. You shake everybody down?
Yeah, didn't find anything on anybody, though. Deputy has 2 knives and a gun that were ditched under benches when he started searching.
The knives clean?
As far as I could tell.
We'll send them through to Austin, make sure. If there's any blood left on one of them, the lab will find it. Yeah. We're not going to have to wait for that, though. Not if the killer's still around.
Why?
This wound on Roger's throat cut the jugular. See how the blood spurted out. Killer couldn't miss getting some of that blood on his clothes. You check for that on the shakedown?
Well, just their hands, Jay.
Well, you better line them up again inside. Blood's had time to dry. Killer may have had a chance to try and wash it out, but we'll have to check every suspicious-looking stain.
Well, I got the names and addresses of everybody in the place.
Good. You can use that as a checklist. Make sure nobody's taken a run-out since you got here.
Deputy's been stationed all around. All doors have been locked, except this one leading out to the parking lot. I had let folks out here because some of them have got babies sleeping in their cars.
Yeah, I understand. Well, let's get them in.
Right. All right, inside again, folks. Everybody inside. Joe, Charlie Higgins, don't let any stragglers hang back. Keep them moving.
Hey, you better send one of your deputies into town. Dig up some clothes in the jail or someplace. If you find any suspicious stains, a few of these people mightn't have anything to wear home. Sheriff's list checked out 100%. Nobody'd run. A couple of cowpokes had stains on their shirts and jeans. We took their clothes and sent them through to Austin for analysis. Next morning, I got my report. A long-distance call from my chief, Captain Stinson.
Austin lab just finished with the stuff you sent through, Jace. Both the knives were clean.
I see. How about the clothing, Captain?
Well, there was human blood in one of the shirts. A small stain. According to your report, the cowpoke you got it from said he'd cut himself and got a little blood on it. Lab says the blood stain is type O.
Type O, huh?
That's right.
Well, he's not our boy, then. Medical examiner did an autopsy on Rogers during the night. Rogers' blood was AB.
Everything keeps pointing to the stranger who got away. Do you think Mrs. Rogers gave a good description?
Well, I think so. She gave me the same rundown she gave the sheriff. Claims she'll never forget what he looked like.
Do you think she'd recognize a photo of him if she saw it?
I'm sure she would.
Good. The boys at Austin are going through the gallery pulling shots of all known criminals who fit that description. Especially the ones who are too free with a knife. I'll bring the photos down myself. Let Mrs. Rogers go over them.
While I'm waiting, I think I'll have a look through the ranch area around here. All we know about the man we're after is that he got away. We don't know whether he was in a car or on foot or mounted. A few cowpokes did come into the dance on horses.
I see.
The fellow we're looking for might be a new hand just drifted into the territory. I got charcoal in my horse trailer. Sheriff's getting his mount. It'll keep us busy until you get here, unless you have another idea.
No, Jace, you go ahead. I'll see you tonight.
Right. Bye, Captain.
Bye, Jace.
Ready, Sheriff?
If you are. My mount's all saddled.
Yeah, I'll get charcoal out of the trailer. Let's go. We rode from ranch to ranch, taking shortcuts through the gullies and arroyos, working through the good grazing as well as the badlands, riding close.
We're on Drew Baker's land now.
be able to see the ranch house when we reach the end of these trees.
How many hands he got on the place?
Three. And they've been around for quite a spell. Unless he took on a new one.
Brubaker. That seems to me his name was on the list of folks who were at the dance.
Yeah, he was there with his wife.
Well, then he was asked if he'd noticed the stranger. Asked everybody that. If anybody by that description was working for him, he'd spoke up.
Well, I thought we might talk to his hands. Even if they weren't at the dance, they might have noticed a stranger around someplace.
Possible. Worth a try.
Yeah. Hey, there's Brubaker now climbing into his tractor there with the tool shed. Hey, Brubaker!
He sees us.
Howdy, Sheriff. Can you hear you?
Oh, boy. Oh,
Chunky.
Yeah. Howdy.
Howdy.
Glad to see you, Sheriff. Matter of fact, I've been thinking of phoning you.
You got some information on the Rogers case?
Well, no. It's something I guess I shouldn't even be bothering you with right now. Just wanted to put in a little complaint.
What kind of complaint, Brubaker?
Well, see, just before the dance last night, the missus and me did some shopping in town. Matter of fact, going to the dance was an afterthought. Just decided to drop in when we was driving home and pass the fun spot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sir, like I said, I hate to bother you about it, but a couple of things was stolen out of my pickup while we was at the dance. New bridle I'd bought in town and a new pair of wire clippers.
Are you sure those things were taken while you were at the dance?
Well, they couldn't have been taken anyplace else. They were the last things we bought before we went to the dance. Put them on the shelf behind the cab seat.
Could be something to this, Jase.
You sure could. Anybody stealing things from a car wouldn't be doing it while you and your deputies were all over the place.
And we were there till after everybody had cleared out. Stuff must have been taken out of Brubaker's pickup before Rogers was killed. Say, as a matter of fact, Rogers might have surprised somebody going through the car.
I wouldn't rule out the stranger we're looking for. He left the dance hall before Rogers went outside. Bridle and wire clippers wouldn't be easy to trace. I wonder if he might have taken something else.
Well, I haven't had any other complaints.
People don't always complain. Thanks, Brubaker. Come on, Sheriff. Let's get back to town.
So long.
So long.
So long.
Get up, Charlie. Come on.
Now, let's go.
You planning to check over that dance list again?
We'll call every name on it. See if anything else was taken from that parking lot.
Up, Charlie. Come on, boy. Let's go.
Sheriff and his deputies started a phone check of people who'd been at the dance, asking them to list missing articles. Meanwhile, Captain Stinson drove in with the gallery shots of possible suspects. We took them over to the funeral home to see if Mrs. Rogers could identify the stranger who'd quarreled with her husband. Captain showed them to her, one by one.
How about this one, Mrs. Rogers?
No.
Well, this is the last one.
No. That's not him either.
Yeah, I guess that does it, Jase. The man we're after isn't a known criminal. Not in this state, anyhow.
Can I go back to my husband now? I want to be near him until they have
to. Sure, ma'am. Go ahead.
We wasn't even married a year. Next month, we'd have had our first anniversary.
I might as well get back to the sheriff's office, Captain.
Yeah. Young bride like that. A nice future the killer left her. We gotta get him.
I'll stay on until
hey, Jay! Captain!
Oh, there's the sheriff now.
Looks like we've hit something on that phone check, Jase. Deputy just got a call from Perney Richards. Not the old man, but Perney Jr.
Something missing from his car?
Yeah. Ladies, Hamilton wristwatch. Perney bought it for his gal's birthday. Left it in the glove compartment of the car. Was fixing to surprise her with it today.
Yeah, that's going to help, Jase.
Plenty. New purchase like that, the jeweler will have a record of the serial number on the watch. Killer might try to sell it or pawn it someplace.
He might just give it to some gal.
I don't think so. Man we're after doesn't sound like he'd have a gal of his own. Come on. Let's get a rundown on that watch. We got the serial number and put out a bulletin to jewelers and pawn shops, all the logical places where a man might dispose of a watch. Because it was Sunday, we had a break. The bulletins would be on file before the killer had a chance to unload. Meanwhile, Captain Stinson was in phone contact with Austin, digging up another angle.
The
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Well, thanks. No, not necessarily. Mightn't mean anything, but it can't hurt us. I'll call you later if I need anything else.
Right.
Goodbye.
They have anything?
A little. I asked them to check open files, unsolved cases of petty theft, especially things taken from cars in dance hall parking lots. There
must be plenty of cases like that. The same man wouldn't be responsible for all of them.
No, but a couple of cases follow a pattern, Jase. I've written them down. Now, look here. Portable radio stolen from a car week before last, outside of Elderton. Roadhouse there was having a square dance. And here's a constable's report. Same night, same place. Man answering the description of our stranger got in a beef. He pulled a knife on a fella. Didn't get a chance to use it, though. And ran before the law could get there.
Hey, that's good.
Now, here's another one. Also a square dance. South of here at Pa's Crossing. Happened a month ago. Manager at the dance hall ordered some fella out for bothering a woman. Again, the same description. Fella went outside and threw a rock through a window and got away. Cars had been looted.
That's our boy, all right.
Yeah, but we still don't know who he is.
Something we do know, though. Look at this county map. He's been here in Bankerville, west of here in Elderton, and south of here at Parr's Crossing, all within a month.
Yeah, that's right.
Means he must be living in this area or hanging around at some place. Draw a circle around the three spots he's been seen at. Gives us a radius of about 40 miles in any direction. And that fits, because he wasn't picked up in the roadblocks.
I don't know, Jase. He's been a stranger in all three places. And they're the only towns around here. Most of the area in the middle of your circle is hill country and badlands. And not many ranches he might be working on.
No, but there's a lot of prospecting going on in those badlands, Captain. Big new kick. Not gold or silver anymore. Uranium.
Say, not many people would see a prospector.
Not unless he had a habit of wandering into some town on a Saturday night with a yen for square dancing.
All right, Jase, I'll buy it. What's your move?
Thought the sheriff and I might do a little prospecting, too.
Uranium?
No. A man with a knife. The sheriff put in with me. Next morning, we loaded his horse into my trailer with charcoal and headed into the Badlands.
The old settlement's up ahead. We can leave the car at Reb Miller's store.
I thought the settlement was deserted.
Well, it was for a few years, but Miller opened up again because of this prospecting thing. Reckon they give him enough trade to keep going. It's either they buy from him or take a car trip every time they have to lay in supplies.
I never thought of that. Miller may have seen our man.
Possible. Coming into the settlement now.
Ghost town. Where's the store?
Long Dobe building just ahead. A lot of cars parked under a shed just behind it.
I see it.
Boy, I hope he's got some soft drinks and a way of keeping them cold. This sun's a scorcher.
Well, we'll be able to wet your whistle in a minute. Yeah, here we are.
Yeah.
Hardly think Miller could make a living here.
Well, there's just him and his old lady. I reckon they don't need much to get by.
Yeah, looks like we'll be his only customers.
Hello? Anybody here?
Oh, well, lad. If it ain't Sheriff Gruner, howdy.
Howdy, Miss Miller. This here is Ranger Jase Pearson.
Howdy,
hello,
ma'am.
Where's Reb, Miss Miller?
Oh, now he's just plain gonna die because he missed you, Sheriff. But he drove up to Elderton to see the doc. He's back again.
Oh, that's too bad.
But he'll be back for supper if you can stay.
We might have to. Depends on whether or not you can help us.
Somebody here can help us, all right.
What is it, Jase?
Take a look in this showcase.
Well, I'll be.
I'd called his attention to something that stood out like a sore thumb. The store was run down, its shelves barely stocked with necessities. But there before our eyes, in a dirty showcase with cracks running through the glass, was a brand new Hamilton wristwatch.
Reb is stocking some mighty fancy merchandise, ain't he, Ms. Miller?
Oh, you mean that watch? You want to buy it?
All we want to know is where you got it.
Well, Reb took it in trade from a fella who run a bill here.
What's his name?
Why, Carp's his last name. Don't know his first one. That watch ain't stolen, is it?
We can tell you that in a minute. Get it out of the case, Sheriff.
Right. You remember the serial number?
Yeah, I got it written down in my book. Pry the back cover off.
Yeah, fingernails won't do it. I'll have to find something.
When did this Carp bring the watch in, ma'am?
Well, yesterday, Sunday. Reb's always trusting people, you know. Carp owed him more than $20. Instead of cash, he give Reb the watch and a pair of wire clippers.
Wire clippers? You hear that, Sheriff?
I sure did. I'll have this watch case open in a minute.
Oh, I told Reb not to trust nobody. Reckon Carp wouldn't even trade here if he had cash. Couldn't give Reb no money. Oh, no, but when he come back yesterday, he had a new bridle for his horse. Reckon he had to pay cash for that someplace.
You're reckoning wrong, Mrs. Miller. He got that bridle the same way he got the watch and wire clippers.
Yeah, that does it. Here's the number, Jace. H-427-991.
H-427-991. That's it, all right. Carp's our boy. Where is he?
Well, he's out in the hills, I reckon. He saddled up and rode off after he brought our car back yesterday.
He had your car?
All Saturday night, Sheriff. You know Reb. He'll lend anything to anybody. That's why we ain't got nothing ourselves. Carp never even paid him for the gas he used up. Then he had the nerve to borrow his shirt and jeans while he used my tub to scrub out his old clothes. And water scarce as it is.
Don't need two guesses what he was scrubbing for, Sheriff.
You can say that again.
Come on, Sheriff. Let's get the horses and move.
Well, look here. Don't you want to know what he looks like?
Thanks, ma'am. But that's something we already know. It was rough going through the Badlands, and the territory we had to cover was big. We met prospectors here and there, but not Carp. At the end of our second day, the trail led to rocky ground, thinning out in spots and disappearing in others. We kept going until the sun dipped under the rim and darkness came fast.
Oh, I can't see anything, Jace. If the tracks were heavier, we could keep going, but the ground's too hard. Can't pick up marks like that by flashlight.
I know. Better find a campsite. Rustle some grub.
Well, you can do the eating. All I want is a place to rest my bones.
We'll find a spot when we get on level ground. Up, Charlie. Come on.
Come on, up, boy.
Sheriff.
Yeah?
It's like somebody solved our camp problem for us. Over there at the right.
Sparks.
Yeah, fire behind those rocks. Circle around.
Carp, maybe.
Could be. It's a cinch at somebody. Let's ride for it. Up, boy. Come on,
Charlie. Come on, come on. See the fire now, Jace. Man getting up.
He can't see us yet. Here's us coming.
Looks like a big fella.
Carp is big. Mrs. Rogers said about 6'3".
His horse is there, Jace. He's moving over toward it.
He'll be able to see us in a minute. Drift away from me. Leave a little distance between us.
All right. Get over, boy.
That's good.
Seems to be waiting.
Yeah. Don't go all the way in mounted. Pull up and we'll walk to him. Whoa, whoa,
oh,
Charlie.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
All right, keep the same distance.
Yeah. Who's that out there?
We're looking for somebody.
Who?
I'll tell you in a minute. Keep your eyes open, Sheriff.
Maybe you better tell me now.
A fellow named Carp. Is that you?
What do you want to see Carp about?
It's kind of a personal matter. Unless you're Carp.
He got behind his horse, Jason.
You stay where we are.
Hold it, Sheriff. Ooh, ooh, Charlie. Ooh.
Pull the rifle from his saddle holster.
You fellas better get mounted and ride off. I don't like anybody sneaking around me at night.
And I don't like getting mounted and riding away from a fire. Makes my back too good a target.
Say, you look like a Texas Ranger.
You got good eyes.
And I'm a sheriff, Carp, so don't try anything funny. Put that rifle down and let's have a talk.
Oh. Well, what do you want to see me about?
I want to invite you to a square dance.
You...
Hit the dirt, Sheriff. Oh. He dropped down. Roll behind the fire, Jace. I can't see him.
Can't see us either. Must be close behind that fire. Shoot into it. Chip sparks off that heavy log that's burning. Might be able to shower him with a big hot foot.
All right. Say when.
Let go.
That did it, Jace. He's up.
Drop your gun, Carp.
I did it.
You hit him, Jace. There he is. And there's his gun on the ground.
Gun stock split. That's what I hit, not him. Shock knocked him out.
Well, just the same. He's out cold. While he's laying here, I might just as well get these cuffs on his hands.
Look out, Sheriff!
I'll cut your heart out!
Drop that knife!
Let it go! Ow, my arm!
Thank you, Jace. He almost planted that in my ribs.
Yeah, it's something he won't try again. Come on, Carp. Get up.
Hey, Jar.
Save your story for the jury, Carp. Maybe you can tell them how to be a big hit at a square dance. Come on, get moving. Randolph Karp was tried and convicted for the murder of rancher Mort Rogers. The final piece of evidence against Karp was a bloody fingerprint on the steering column of the car he had borrowed from storekeeper Reb Miller. It was Karp's right thumbprint, and the blood specimen matched the type of the slain man. Karp was sentenced to Huntsville Penitentiary for a term of 99 years.
Tales of the Texas Rangers on Tuned to Yesterday from the 20th of May, 1951 on NBC. The program created, produced, and directed by Stacy Keach, who would also take the show to television in 1955, enjoying a run through 1958. And that does it for this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be with us again for more programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.